For most of my life, it was deemed a foregone conclusion, both by myself and by those closest to me, that I would become a lawyer. And this prediction was based not only on the fact that I come from a long line of attorneys, but also on my interests and perhaps mostly some of my personality traits. Among the most significant of these was the fact that I loved being right. More to the point, I loved arguing to prove how right I was, and by implication, how wrong everybody else was. I was a real treat to sit near at Thanksgiving. Though my career and vocational trajectories have clearly shifted, my temperament is another story. Though I think there's been progress in this regard, there are still flashes of my argumentative and dogged disposition, especially, you guessed it, when I am convinced that I am in the right. I vividly remember an argument with a dear friend and fellow Jesuit, and I have no memory of what we were bickering about, but I do remember that I was right, and that I was in my dog on a bone mode. I wouldn't let it go. And finally, he turned to me and said, "Tim, you are never more intolerable than when you're right." And it was one of those horrible moments of clarity, because I knew he was right, and still is. The episode that I just mentioned flashes to my mind each and every time I read the gospel that the church sets before us this fourth Sunday of Lent. You see, I have a soft spot for the villain in this parable today, the older brother of the so-called prodigal son. Interpretations of this passage in sermons as much as in art tend to focus on the father, the younger brother, or both of them. Fair enough. And homilists will often insist that the parable could also be called one of the prodigal father. If we define that word as extravagant, or especially in the use of money and resources, the father's welcome certainly qualifies. It is lavish, materially, rings, clothes, a fattened calf, and also lavish in terms of mercy and love. But what these perspectives miss is that the word prodigal describes not just someone who is lavish, but one who is recklessly or wastefully so. In other words, the very term itself in this story originates from the perspective of the older brother. The parable makes very clear that the elder child scorns both his father and his brother because he sees them as nothing less than wastrels. With all due respect to the prodigal son, the text here is actually contrasting the father with the eldest child, the older brother. In our familiarity with this parable, it's one of the greatest hits, we can easily skip over the context in which it originates. And that's a controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees. They are peeved, as usual, by the company Jesus keeps. And the opening lines of today's gospel set the scene. Here they are again. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. His story contrasts the open, tender heart of God with the closed, hardened heart of a Pharisee. It's the kind of heart that can only view a brother's return and repentance with cynicism and as an occasion to insist that he was right all along. By most reasonable human standards, the older brother is right. And worse yet, he knows it. And that's why I have a soft spot for him. The younger brother essentially wished his father dead in collecting his inheritance early. We are a far cry from honor thy father and thy mother. He left his brother the burden of tending a farm, and we should not ignore the fact that in departing, he saddled his older brother with the care of an aging parent. Any of you who have nursed an ailing relative or friend, and felt that you bore your share of the more than your share of the responsibility, knows that this is no trivial matter. The younger brother got exactly what he wanted, and much more besides. The older brother, not so much. We see in the older brother's righteous indignation, expressed so forcefully at the conclusion of the gospel to his father, that beneath a dutiful exterior often beats a bitter, hardened heart. We learn in this parable that it is possible to be right in the wrong way. And more to the point, we learn that for God, there is something more important than being right. Love is more important, and love without mercy is a fiction. In fact, it's a lie. For those of us with older brother tendencies, this is a hard gospel. It's also one that we need to hear, because at some point or other, we are all the older brother, standing outside the party, insisting that we are or were right, and missing the fact that that's not the point. On this Laetare Sunday, the liturgy asks us to rejoice. Rejoice because our Lenten pilgrimage is more than half over, yeah. But more importantly, to rejoice because our God meets our repentance with mercy that is lavish, even prodigal. Rejoice because love and mercy are more important to God than being right.